Okay, ushers, come if you will. I've got a handout tonight. We're going to give it to college age and older. College age and older. And so college age, well, don't give it to the young people in the youth department. They can get it from their parents, okay? So college age and older. And so if they look college age, give it to them. And that'd be great. If they look older and college age, you have nothing to figure out. So you're in good shape. And go ahead and pass it out if you will. And now here's what I want you to do, okay? I don't want you to stare at it. I don't want you to do that. I want you to listen to the message, all right? And we'll come down to these scriptures for you to be able to see the comparison in scriptures. You know, the Bible talks about that God's people are destroyed, listen to me now, for lack of knowledge. And so what takes place is the devil can steal the Word of God from you, steal the Word of God from your family, steal the Word of God, if you would please, from the pulpits in America, then you'll eventually wind up being destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's better to have the whole Word of God than portions of the Word of God. Somebody asked me years ago, well, do you believe that you can lead a person to Christ using another version of the Bible than the King James Bible? Yeah, because it contains the truth of the gospel. But that doesn't mean that you ought to use the Bible, if you would please, to grow thereby if they take important parts out of the Bible, whereby identifies everything you need in order to grow. Does that make sense to you? All right. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at parts that have been taken out and how there's been an outright attack on the Word of God by these other versions of the Bible that, if you will, please, will water down or they leave out important aspects of the Bible, truth, whereby the Word of God has been taken from you. If somebody's going to steal something from you, you ought to be wise enough to wake up and say, that's not right. That's not right. All right? And so we'll see some things and some versions that people are using. And isn't it funny how man thinks that they're smart enough to change the Bible? Isn't that something? The King James Bible has been used since 1611. And can I tell you that God has used it to bring most of the revivals that have been had over those many years from that day until now. These other ones, the watered down ones that doesn't have the complete Word of God in them, but has taken away from it, certainly has less power and less truth. So let's look back at that Bible verse I gave you a moment ago tonight, speaking on the purity and the preservation of the King James Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually," now watch it if you would please, it says, "worketh also in you that believe." Now, the Word of God needs to be able to effectively work inside of you and I that does believe. You know, this verse right here is talking about when somebody steals the Word of God, then of course it cannot as effectively work in man. Why? Because it's not there. It's not there. In order for the Word of God to be able to work effectively in somebody's life, then it has to be there. As I quoted the verse just a little bit ago about when people are destroyed. Why are they destroyed? They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. You ever try and put together a swing set and you left out part of the instructions? You ever try to put together anything and you left out part of the instructions? Doesn't turn out well. When you try and put together your life, my dear friend, and you leave out part of the truth to put together your life, it just doesn't turn out well. And so here we see there's some groups that are included in even some Bible college seminaries that say that the Word of God is no longer sufficient within itself. We have to be able to change it so that it is more effective in being able to reach people. Why do they need to change something? Why do they need to tamper with something that's worked so well for so many years. I don't buy into it that somebody says that we do not have the inerrant word of God that was only in the originals and we don't have the originals today. I do believe that God, the creator God, the almighty God, the creator of the universe has the power not only to inspire but to preserve that which he has inspired. I believe that as the Bible teaches that the Holy Ghost moved among men and as those men penned, if you would please, the word of God, it was given to us, and all scripture is inspired. And so we don't have a Bible that contains the word of God. We have a Bible that is the word of God. Now in Psalm 12, there's no other verses in the Bible that give light to this. Matter of fact, the word pure is mentioned at the beginning of Psalm 12. Webster's dictionary defines the word pure. It simply means this: it must be free from moral defilement and without spot. And so keep that in your head. Psalm 12 in verse 6, you can look at your paper if you want to follow along. The Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times." The Bible says, watch it now in verse 7. The Bible says, "Thou shalt keep them." Now keep what? Well, what did he just get done talking about? Look at verse 12. The Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." So he's talking about the word of God. He comes down relatively in verse 7, and he says, "Thou shalt keep them," talking about what? The pure words that preceded in verse 6. The Bible says, "O Lord, thou shalt preserve them." What's he talking about? We'll read it contextually. He's talking about that which is the words that was mentioned there in verse 6. It says, "From this generation forever." So God promises, listen, not only to keep his words, right there written in your Bible, not only to keep his word, but also to preserve his word. And he says here, it says, "From this generation forever." So that lets you know how long God's going to preserve his word. Now, the NIV says this. The NIV says, "The words of the Lord are flawless." Well, it takes out the words pure, doesn't it? Right. By the way, when you start changing words, it changes definitions. The Bible says, like silver refined in the furnace of clay, purified seven times. And so what the NIV does is now it's no longer pure. It's just flawless words. Well, the Bible says over in Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure." It says, "But even their mind and consciousness is defiled." All right, and so for a person that has pure words, then as you put pure words in, then it produces pureness out. As you put defilement in, then it produces defilement out. NIV has no reference, if you would please, to God's solemn promise that he will preserve his words generationally. Look at it in verse 7. The Bible says, "You will keep us." Us, what are you talking about? Us. Changes the total format, changes the total content. "Oh Lord, you will keep us safe and protect us from such people forever." Boy, it changes the whole context of it. It leaves out the words of the Lord. It's talking about now, it's changing it to people. Isn't it amazing how they think that they can get away as they just attacked the Word of God, and now they're changing the total content, the total structure of it, so it looks like that God changed his mind, or rather that God changed his direction in talking about this verse. But verse 7, if you'll read it in your King James Bible, relatedly is referring back to verse 6, where it says, "Thou shalt keep them." Doesn't talk about us, doesn't talk about a people. It's referring back to the Word of God that you find in verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words." Then he comes down in verse 7. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them." Talking about the words of the living God from this generation forever. So God said, "I'll do this. I will keep them and I will preserve them." The NIV changes that. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Jesus answered, Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by shall not live by bread alone. Now watch it carefully, but by every word of God. Did you see it? Talking about the word of God. Is that right? He said, by every word of God. NIV says this, and Jesus says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, where'd the word of God go? They just happen to leave out the word of God. I tell you, there's an attack on the Word of God like no other. And by the way, if you have two texts and one text is more pure, just common sense. If you have two texts and one is talking about the Word of God and the other is not talking about the Word of God, just out of just sheer choice, which one would you choose? Would you choose one that would lift up the Word of God or one that cuts out the Word of God? NIV says this, I'll read it again. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. King James, I'll read it again. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, NASV, that's, of course, the one that came before the NIV, the NASV, it says this, and Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, leaves out the word of God. The ESV, which some fundamentalists have gone after today, and they use that, the English standard version, says this, Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, leaves out the word of God. Now, can I tell you, the word of God is important. I'll say it again for those of you that's slow. The word of God is important. The word of God stands alone. We don't need, if you would please, to be confused about it. I worry about these preachers that they preach from everything under heaven. They come to the church pulpit and they open one Bible, another Bible for that, and the other Bible for what comes next. And before you know it, they're preaching out of four different versions. No wonder they need to use screens. The people can't keep up. I mean, how in the world are you going to turn to it? You're going to bring 50 Bibles to church, 15 Bibles to church, 12 Bibles to church? You know, every modern version, by the way, originates from, or if you would please, significantly is influenced by the King James Bible in its primary origination. You think about this. The Textus Receptus is where we get our King James Bible. It's called the Received Text. Whereas the modern versions, if you would please, oftentimes that what they will do is they will come from the corrupt text. We know it as the Westcott and Hort text, if you would please, or equally corrupt, the Nestle's text, the Nestle's Greek text. Now, can I tell you, one came down the road, if you would please, from a very, very sacred place. The other came through places that were corrupt and places that was known for thievery and places that was known, if you would please, for taking that which was right and turning it wrong. And can I say, if you have a Bible tonight and it lines up with that which I'm speaking tonight, you've got a good Bible. But if you've got a Bible tonight that leaves out words, don't forget, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The King James Bible says this in 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The NIV says this. The NIV says, listen to it again. The Bible said, or the NIV says this, it says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Through, it says, the living and the enduring word of God. Now, wait a minute. So what does it do? It changes that which is incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, to that which is a perishable seed and an imperishable seed. There's something about having a word of God that's incorruptible, that has more power to it in understanding that. So the NIV translators, they didn't think it was important enough to be able to say that the promise is preserved in an incorruptible seed. They just said merely this, that it is preserved, if you would please, in an imperishable seed. Big, big difference there. Okay, the NASV, of course, again, preceding the NIV, says the very same thing. Now, there are six things, six truths tonight about the King James Bible I want you to consider. Statement number one, God promises His Word will stand forever. God promises His Word will stand forever. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the Bible says the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of God shall stand forever. So you have a Bible that stands forever. Now, I've been teaching and preaching out of the King James Bible now for 41 years. I don't think I'm going to change. You say, you don't think you're going to change because after all, you know, you're just not the new kid on the block. I'm not interested. I've seen the fruits of the new kids on the block. The fruits of the new kids on the block doesn't impress me. The same ones that's using the NIV and the ESV is the same ones that's dressing more and more like the world, and they don't have a reference for church, and they don't have a reference for godly music. They pump in the rockish type of music inside of their churches. And to be be honest with you, I'm not interested in that group. I'm interested in staying the way that the Bible teaches that we ought to stay. And you know, you think about Moses when he came down from the mountain. All of a sudden he heard a noise, a sound, if you would please. And that noise, that sound was something that was foreign to his ears. Well, can I tell you, when I walk into some churches, and I'm talking about independent Baptist churches, when I walk in some independent Baptist churches, there's some foreign things going on there that ought not to be going on there. The problem is, they got one foot in the world and try to put one foot in God's house, and it doesn't match. It doesn't match. You think about where all the great revivals came from. It came from preachers that would stand up and they would preach the Word of God unapologetically, and they preached it with great authority. Why? Because they had a copy of the Word of God. There wasn't words left out. They were able to give the whole counsel of the Word of God. God's promises, if you would, He promises that the world will stand forever. His promises will stand as long as the world stands forever. Statement number next, God's promises, if you will, He promises this, that His Word will make you clean. Not only that His Word will stand forever, not only that His Word will stand forever, His Word will stand forever. But also He promises this. He promises that His Word will make you clean. John chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says, "Now are you clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you." So how we get clean? Through the Word. Through the Word. You run the Word of God through you just like somebody would run water through a spigot. And it cleans out the spigot, or it cleans out the hose. Okay, that's what the Word of God would do. The Word of God run through you will clean you out. Statement number three, God promises that those who hear and keep His Word, and think about this, God gives blessings. God gives blessings. He promises for those that hear and keep His Word, He'll give blessings. So God promises blessings to those that hear and keep His Word. Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God," listen to it now, "and keep it." And keep it. So, God promises that His Word will stand forever. God promises that His Word can make you clean. God promises, if you will, that He will bless you as you hear and keep His Word. Statement number four, God promises the blessings. Now, I want you to think about this, the blessings only to those who accept His Word as authoritative. He promises blessings to those, but only those that accept His Word as authoritative. Now, let me read you something. Watch this. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, the Bible says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, it says, is as iniquity and idolatry." Now listen. "Because thou hast rejected the Word of the Lord, He hath rejected thee from being king." Now, by the way, that also is a principle that could apply in the New Testament as well, and in our time too. As you reject the Word of God, God says, "I'm going to reject giving you blessing." He said, as that one rejected the word, it says, of the Lord. Not the word of the king, not the reigning king, but the word of the Lord. He says, because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he said, I have rejected you from being king. So God promises blessings for those who accept the word of God as authoritative. So God says, look, he said, because you've rejected this, he says, then I'm going to reject you. Statement number next, okay? God promises that if you know the truth, listen to it now, will make you free. Will make you free. Now, doesn't the Bible teach that? John chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says, and Jesus saith unto those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, he says, if ye continue in my word, it says, are ye my disciples indeed? Now, watch this in verse 32, John 8. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, it's going to happen. It's definite. You know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Yep. You put the key in the door, and you turn it, and he says, I'll make the door open. Now watch this, if you will, the NIV. The NIV changes the word, if you would please, the word, talking about the word, to teaching. John chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says the Jews, it says, who hath believed on him, Jesus said, listen to it, believed on him, Jesus said, if you behold, it says, my teaching, behold, it says, if ye hold, it says, if ye hold my teaching, ye, it says, are really my disciples. My teaching takes out the word again. Takes out the word again. Teaching what? Teaching what? Look at John 8:32. The Bible says, listen to it, uses a more passive word here. The Bible says, or rather the NIV says, it says in the NIV, John 8:32, it says this. It says, then it says, ye will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's more passive than make. Right in. Right. That's a whole lot more passive than make. Right. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, in the NIV, it uses the word set. It's more passive. Statement number six. God promises that he will judge us with the same word by which we are to live. He'll judge us with the same word whereby that we're supposed to live by. Okay, now watch this. John chapter 12 and verse 48. The Bible says, he that rejected me and received not, here it is, my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. So, all right, in the last days, maybe the last of your days, maybe the last days to come as you're living, and perhaps some of those very days today, God said, I'll judge you by my words. Well, you know, how are you going to know how to obey God if you don't have his words? How are you going to know what to do? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, the Bible said, every word of God is pure. What word? What word? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right? It didn't say proceeded. It's not past tense. It says proceedeth. It's a continuation. It's if you would please, something that is going to continue as it proceedeth out of the mouth. Well, wait a minute. You think about this. The Bible talks about all scriptures given by inspiration of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, it says, to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and it says of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Psalm 138 and verse 2, the Bible says, I will worship towards the holy temple. It says, and I'll praise his name with loving kindness. It says, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word, it says, above all thy name. So God says, I'm going to magnify my word even above my name. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm almost done, but I want you to listen to it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, here's what it says. It says, but the word, it says, preached, the latter portion of it, but the word, it says, preached, it said, did not profit them. It says, not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay, so here's a person says this. It says, I really believe the word of God is true. I believe it. I believe it. God said it. That settles it. It's not God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's God said it. That settles it. By the way, God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. All right? So since God said it and that settles it, if you don't believe it, then that's your bad. Don't forget who you're dealing with. You're dealing with the Creator God. You're not dealing with some man that just decides to sit down and write a letter somewhere. See, the Word of God, even God Himself said that the Word of God, He even lifts above His own name. So God looks at His Word as being that is of the utmost importance. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, you'll see that God shows disgust for those that are not taking responsibility of helping to preserve His Word. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 30, the Bible says this. It says, therefore, behold, He says, I am against the prophets. Now, these are people that have the power to persuade. He said, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So He said, I'm against those that steal the word, those that take from the word, those that change the word. He said, I'm against them. Now, can I tell you this, dear friend? I don't want God against me. I don't think you want God against you. So why not stay with that which is the word of God that's accepted? Jeremiah 23 and verse 30 in the NIV says this. It says, therefore, declare, it says the Lord, I am against the prophets who steal from, watch it, one another's words, supposedly from me. What do you mean supposedly? And what do you mean one another's words? It changes it completely. Jeremiah 23 and verse 30, it said that the Lord is speaking, and the Lord said, He said that you steal my words, He says, every one from his neighbor. He's concerned about His words. He's not concerned about other people's words. The ESV says the very same thing here, if you will, in 23 and 30 of Jeremiah. Therefore, it says, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares, it says, of the Lord, who, it says, steal my words from one another. Now, well, where's the words being stolen from the prophets? It's being stolen from the Lord. It's His words. Here's what happens. I use Brother Butler this morning. I'll use you. Here's what happens. Here's a young man goes to Bible college. By the way, this is a true story about him. He went to Bible college, and I was his pastor in Tennessee. He came back to me. He said, the Bible department at my Bible college is saying that the King James Bible is not the reliable Word of God, and they're alluding to other versions. He said, preacher, he said, I think I need to go back, and I think maybe if I go, and he loved his school, and he loved the people there, but they were changing. He said, I think I can go back, and he said, you know, preacher, he said, I think I could maybe make a difference, and he came to me for counsel, and he said, but I'm just not sure. He's a young man back then. He's an old man today. But he came to me back then, and he said, what do you think? I said, you're not going to change them. I said, if they got their mind made up, you're a student, they're the teacher, and they're going to use the trump card. They're just going to say, nope, that's it. Nope, you get in your place. I said, the best thing you could do is change schools. Go to a school that teaches the Word of God and leave the eggheads alone. And just go to the right place. Go to the right place. And so he did, and graduated, and doing an outstanding job here on staff, and I thank God for him. By the way, listen to me now, but the same it is. I just don't understand. I don't understand. I wish preachers in every category of preaching, whether they're independent Baptists, whether they're Southern Baptists, and by the way, there are some good Southern Baptists years ago. that adhere to the King James Bible. Yeah, had large churches. But now I'm afraid what's happening to our churches is this. What's happening to our churches across America is churches have become a live entertainment center. Where you go to church and, you know, you got to have the music this way and, you know, you let everybody do whatever they want to do and they come one way and they leave the same way they came and there's no Holy Ghost and there's no working, there's no preaching on purity, there's no preaching on living holy. They're afraid to mention sin because they're afraid that they'll lose people from the church. And so here's what we have. We have people that they get up and they're good in teaching, but they don't want to preach too much. You never hear them ever raise their voice because if they raise their voice, they're afraid that maybe they'll scare somebody and they might not come back. So now you see churches across America, and I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. You see churches across America, you know, they darken their platforms like you'd see a stage if you were to attend a conference somewhere. They darken their platforms and stuff like that. You stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. You know, they'll sit on bar stools. In my day, bar stools were made for the bars. But they'll sit on bar stools, and you'll see that they have their blue jeans, and they have their untucked shirts, and, you know, stuff like that. And it's the cool look. It's just the cool look, you know. And it's just, you know, something that they, and then they try and sell you on that. And here's the problem. Then we have people in our church that pick up on stuff like that, and before you know it, they stop dressing up for church. They start having the cool look. You know, before you know it, they're kind of endorsing all the things that's happening and stuff like that. And they're saying, well, you know, we don't need to have music that's protected. Let's go ahead and add a little bit of rock and roll to it. And let's get a little bit of twist and stuff like that. Well, in my day, the twist belonged to Elvis Presley, but not in the church. Now, can I say this? Churches have changed. They've just changed. Used to be when you went to a bar room, you would expect to see what you see in a bar room. Now you go to church, and what you saw in the bar room on Saturday night, you see in the church on Sunday morning. I'm saying churches have changed.
Amen.
Used to be the man of God would get up and he'd tell you what for. But now the man of God's got to kind of tame it down a little bit and lace it a little bit, because if he preached it like he did years ago and spit in your face, you'd get all mad. You go walking out the back door and you say, I ain't never going back to that church. That man, boy, he got in my business. He got in my business and it disturbed me. He had no right to say what he said. And it hurt my feelings. Well, you know what I say about feelings. Grow up and get over it. But watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. You know, what happens is young men like this that would go off to Bible school and they sit there and they got a teacher. And the teacher gets up, and they respect the teacher. He's older. He's more of a senior type of fella. And he gets up, and he says, well, let me tell you something. And they take that teacher's word as the gospel. And they swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And then when they leave, they go out and say, well, you know, it must be so, because that's what the teacher said. And they just believe what the teacher said. They don't validate anything from the Word of God. Just what the teacher said. Now you got these people that have these podcasts and all this other stuff, and they get on there and they try to destroy the church, and they try to destroy soul winning, and they try to destroy holiness and biblical separation. They try to destroy everything that made America great. And then what happens? Our young people get influenced. And now our young people say, well, I'll tell you what, when I become pastor, you know, I'm just going to love the people, you know, I'm just going to love them, you know. And I mean, I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt, because after all, you know, I just want to love them and patty cake them along. But can I tell you, it's not supposed to be that way, my dear friend. If you want to raise godly families, you've got to have godly preaching. You've got to have thus saith the word of God. But here's what happens now. Young person goes to school like that. They suck it up, hook, line, and sinker. They swallow it. They believe it. Then they go out and then they practice it. And it hurts, because now they have a congregation. Hello. Thank you. Be seated. You see the choirs, you see them on TV all the time. They come out, and it's like a show. I'm glad you're not a showman. But it's like a show. They come out, and the women get up here, and, you know, they're up here, they're wigging this away and wagging that away. You know, it's like you're going to a concert somewhere. But don't forget, folks, yeah, I grew up on concerts. I came out of that. Why in the world would I want to go back to it? God saved me from it, not saved me to it. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that God has given us a Bible. We thank God for the Bible we have. At Parkside Baptist Church, unashamedly, we use the King James Bible. We're not going to apologize for that. We're not going anywhere different with it. But it would be good for you to be able to get into the Bible and learn what it says. And don't get yourself a version of the Bible. Common sense tells you, don't get yourself a version of the Bible that takes this out and throws it out, and take this out and throws this out, and takes this out and throws this out. Don't get yourself a version of the Bible that cuts out the Word of God. Amen. Get yourself a Bible that has the whole Word of God. Amen. And you can find that in your King James Bible. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come.